Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I hope the music was cutting out for everybody there, and it's just not my internet getting ready to fail. But anyways, this is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there was a new one posted over there. Even though we didn't get to do the podcast, the new blog did go up Wednesday morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, the link will take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and you know the deal. You went all the way over there. Go ahead and give that a like. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E.
All right, so well, no, hang on. I got to ask you my football question first before you ask yours, okay? Because mine is really simple. So I was flipping channels yesterday, and I came across FS1, and they had the title of the show was on the clicker or on the guide was the Spring League. I thought, well, okay, this is kind of strange. But when the picture came up for me, it was football. So I checked the date, and it was actually live yesterday. And apparently, what this league is it consists of former NFL, either guys who are on the roster, in training camp, or on the practice squad, who are trying to show their talents for teams to pick them up, you know, if they have an injury issue or whatever else is going on. And you know, I mean, I watched a few minutes of it, and it wasn't bad football. It was probably on the level of the XFL, so it didn't stink. It wasn't like the AF. My biggest question, Dan, was who came up with the naming process? Because the Spring League in November just didn't seem right to me.
Wait, that's the name of the league?
Yeah, it's called the Spring League. and from what I gather, they play all their games in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, and I think there's four teams. So I was just kind of like, okay. Again, like I said, it wasn't anything, major or fantastic or, anything like that. I mean, it was preseason NFL, stuff kind of like that. And looking at their website here, they actually have six teams. So that's interesting. And oddly, when you sign on to their homepage, it says the Spring League, an elite professional football developmental league. And oddly, there's something that says apply here. So I am going to – they actually have player applications online. So if you're interested, just head on over to thespringleague.com, and you too can maybe be in an elite professional football development league. I believe there are – two more games tonight, possibly. I thought I saw. So there's one game tonight. It's the Generals versus the Jousters. And here you go, Dan. These names are Alphas, Aviators, Blues, Conquerors. And then the Generals and the Jousters are the six teams. So if you're interested, they're on FS1 again tonight. You can you can check that out and maybe see somebody you had on your fantasy team if you were in a 20 team league or bigger.
That's a pretty cool concept.
So, unfortunately they don't have rosters, which is what I was kind of hoping for, so I could kind of see who some of these guys were and if there was like a name that jumped out. I know I saw the one quarterback I saw play last night was Shea Patterson, but I remember him more from college than I do from playing in, being on any kind of NFL team. But yeah, that was kind of weird. And again, you know, like I said, I mean, you want to call it football, kind of call it whatever you want to call it. But I was just more interested in what you thought about the naming process, considering the games are in November.
Yeah, well, I was actually trying to look in their FAQs to see if that they actually put that in there. But, you know, when you see the press and you see that there's been – I wish they had just a list of
Oh, you're fading a little. Victor Bluetooth, you're fading a little.
There you go. I wish they had a list of, you know, who's going on to move, you know, to go on to maybe the CFL, XFL, or the NFL. Because if you go to their, I was just on it, the player spotlight page, you know, they have guys that they tell their story. You know, Paul Butler signed with the Patriots. I don't know when it was. I guess it's not a full on list, but it gives you articles and such. But, you know, maybe that's the reason they named it the Spring League, because it's, I don't know if, you know, these guys play college or whatever, but maybe it's that spring to get you to the NFL for the next step.
Yeah, I mean, I get the idea of, you know, it kind of has a double meaning there. And, you know, I mean, maybe they were supposed to play in the spring and, you know, with COVID they had to delay it. But, you know, it was just kind of like, I just thought it was humorous because, you know, it's November and they called it the Spring League. So... but yeah, like I said, you know, that was just me being goofy. So
kind of going into smooth transition into fantasy. I've got two for you, Big Jack. I know we normally don't do this, but it's for me. You know, if anyone wants to call in and maybe try to pick your brain, you can give them bad advice. No, I'm just kidding. So I have two dilemmas, and this is not in the league. We're up against each other. So you're not picking the wrong guy or you're tricking me. But, in the kicker position, I have Soka from Tampa and Carlson from Vegas. They both look to be very similar.
You're connected. You got to fix it. I'm only getting about every couple words.
How about now?
Yeah, well, we'll see. It hopefully won't fade this time. Now you have who? You have somebody from Vegas and who?
I have Soka from Tampa and Carlson from Vegas. They both look very similar. But, you know, for me, when I'm picking kickers, I'm hoping for the team that will score the most, because at least if they can get in those extra points, you're getting points. Who would you go with?
Well, looking at it, you know, I would probably go with Tampa's guy, because the Raiders are playing the Rams, who have a little better defense than I think New Orleans does. And I think Tampa has a little better offense. So I think they have the opportunity to score more points. You know, there's all the, you know, the issue with field goal kickers is you have to make two decisions. You either go with the guy who you think is going to, whose team is going to score more points, or you go with the guy who you think's team might end up having to take the most field goal attempts because, you know, they're playing a tough defense and they, you know, they can't get into the end zone. Of course, the drawback with that is if they're not moving the ball offensively, they may not score at all and you may not get any field goal attempts. So, you know, at least if you take the guy on the team that's going to score, you're going to get the extra points as long as he can make them, which really shouldn't be too big an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, but between those two guys, I would go with, I would probably go with Tampa Bay's guy.
Oh, so leaving him in. Now on to defense. So I've got everything pretty squared up. But again, another kind of similar situation. You know, like you said, Vegas has taken on the Chargers. I'm trying to read it, Big Jack, and when I see LA, I immediately want to say Rams. I don't think Chargers.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were playing the Rams, too. You're right. They're playing the Chargers. So.
Oh, you said it, too? I didn't even,
whoop.
I guess
yeah.
I didn't even know if you said that. You know, I just think LA, I'm on the Rams. And then I have Jacksonville, who's going up against Houston. I mean, it seems, you know, from the numbers, what I'm seeing, it, like Houston and LA have ranked about the same. But, you know, Jacksonville, according to Yahoo, is edged out to beat the, you know, score not even a, not even 1 point more, just like what, 0.68 or 6-2 or 7-2. So, I mean, what would you be looking at?
Yeah, you know, that's a little tougher call, I think. You know, Houston is kind of a bomb fire. That's who Jacksonville's playing. But I, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, how great of a defense Jacksonville really is. And I know the Raiders have had some games where they've played really well on defense, but boy, man, I think that the Chargers have a really good offense. You know, and it looks like their quarterback is finally starting to come on. So it makes it really, you know, kind of difficult to go. I mean, honestly, if I was going with one guy or, you know, with one team here, I would probably go with Jacksonville and just kind of hope that Houston continues to struggle. Because, I mean, you know, you're talking about a team that, what are they? They're 1-6 now, I believe, or yeah, 1-6 or 1-7. You know, so that may be the route to go there. Let me double check. Yeah, they're 1-6 and they've lost their last couple games. To be fair, though, Jacksonville is also 1-6, and they've lost 6 in a row. So it's, you know, it's an interesting call, but, you know, like the Chargers have scored 179 points this season, while Houston has scored just 166. So I think, you know, the Chargers have the better offense, and they may be able to put some points up on the Raiders, where you just never know with Houston. I mean, it could be one of those days where they score 10 points, or it could be one of those days where they score 30. And I think they're a little more hit or miss than the Chargers are, so I would probably go with Jacksonville. You know, unless there's somebody else out there on the waiver wire that might be a step above. I haven't looked for defense lately. But, yeah, so I would probably lean to – this may be the only week I would lean to Jacksonville, except for, like, when the Raiders were playing the Chiefs or something. yeah, I definitely – I think I would go with Jacksonville on, you know, on that one.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, that's definitely a tough call. Kicker not so much. I think Tampa is probably the way to go there. But yeah, that defense is going to be kind of hit or miss. I think you're either going to do really well with whichever one you go with, or they're going to stink and give up 40 points. I don't think you're going to have like that in-between game where they, they scored 5 points for you. I think you're either going to get a double digit, maybe 15 or more type of deal, or you're going to get like one or two. Good. Here's my Drew Brees article, so I can find if he's going to play, because we have him in the money league. And like I told you off the air, our backup quarterback is Ben DiNucci for some reason, because Mr. Fantasy decided to pick him up. So, in case you have Ben DiNucci, in case you haven't heard, the Cowboys are planning to start either, I believe it's Glenn Gilbert or Cooper Rush. So, yeah. Oh, well, that didn't tell me anything. It says they'll find out more on Friday's practice. That doesn't do me any good for today. So, just one of those teases. Damn it! And I walked right into it. So, but we actually do have a game tonight. So if you're setting your lineups, it's the Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers. And honestly, if you have any 49ers on your fantasy league, well, obviously Garoppolo is hurt and out. Don't you have him?
Yeah.
Get a look at the rest of the team, because they had a COVID outbreak and they put a bunch of guys on the restricted list. So get in there and make your changes and all the other stuff you're going to need to do. Oh, sorry, I had the hiccups there. I was like, yeah. I actually get to watch this game. They're back on, the games are back on Fox for now. I don't know if they're carrying all of them. I know they didn't to start the season. So, but yeah, also, if you have Aaron Rodgers, you may have a huge night, because I don't know. I don't even know if 49ers are going to be able to field a team. But I heard an interesting thing about this, Dan, and I'm wondering if you kind of agree. When you look at this game, everything going on with the 49ers, it probably should have been postponed. When you think about it, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but they may have up to 10 guys who aren't going to be available. So, that's going to be rough. Now, the Packers are 5-2, and they're in the playoff race. San Francisco is 4-4, but in the NFC West, that gets you into last place. If they happen to be in the NFC East, they would be in first place. That's just how different the divisions are. And I heard somebody mention that they believe they didn't cancel this game because they don't think the 49ers are a playoff contender, and they didn't want to take it off TV and not have anything tonight. Do you buy that? Obviously, this goes back to the point where the media hates the NFL. But, I mean, do you buy that as a conspiracy theory, or how do you kind of see it?
Well, I mean, they're obviously not. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team either.
you did what?
Said I don't see them being a playoff team either, but, fourth place in the West. I guess if they stay healthy, they're actually better than any team in the East. So, but I think they just they want to have something on TV. They don't want to lose the rating. I mean, think about all the numbers that the NBA threw out there. And, I had a friend or someone on Facebook commenting about, you know, the Lakers and calling it, you know, oh, it's a half champion. I'm like, no, this isn't baseball. They only missed 9 games. They just had a big, huge break in between. So, you know, with the amount of money that the NBA lost, you know, not having the fans or anything in there, do you think that's part of the reason the NFL wants to keep it on, is just to keep things going?
You know, I don't really think so. I'm also wondering if maybe it was just too late. You know, because this all started coming out yesterday. You know, and again, it would be easy to, you know, cancel the game to say, hey, we're not going to play it. But yeah, you know, it may have just been a little bit of kind of late notice. And again, they figured, you know, it's on TV. You know, they can still feel that a team, let's go ahead and play it. Because, you know, they've been on a pretty good run here of not having to move games. And I think they would kind of like to keep that going. Because I don't believe they would lose any money, because they would just make it up and it would be on TV anyways, like those other, you know, like all those other games were. So it wouldn't really affect them. It would the NBA, which we do need to get to, because while you brought that up humorously, and I really kind of chuckled at this, apparently what everybody describes as the rank and file, meaning the non-star players, have pretty much decided that they are willing to start the season on December 22nd is the date that the league would like to start. Now, you know, you and I discussed this before. They're planning on having a 72-game season. They haven't said if they would do the expanded playoffs again, so that's all still kind of up in the air. But, you know, they need to have a 72-game season to meet the demands of their television contract. The first thing I found really funny, Dan, is when baseball came back, you know, on the Mickey Mouse Network, the one show I like is hosted by Dan Levitard from he was a journalist from Miami. I don't think he still works for the newspaper down there, but he might, but it's a newspaper, so nobody cares. But when baseball came back, he destroyed them for coming back just for the money. Well, obviously the NBA is doing the exact same thing, because they have to meet this television deal. But yet, since his employer is the main financial, basically, investor in the NBA, they pay the most money to show the games. Not one word has been uttered by this guy, Dan, about the NBA coming back for the money. You know, they did mention today that they would lose up to, a billion or a half a billion dollars, you know, if they didn't get the season going on December 22nd. But again, nobody said anything about, oh, well, they're just coming back for the money. Dan, what does this yutz think they're coming back for?
What else would you come back for to begin with? For the love of the game?
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, you and I know that's not it. The league wants that television money. I mean, we all know that. Anybody with any type of common sense knows that. But, you know, to be fair, they need to do this to survive. You know, that's part of the reason baseball came back. You know, there's no ticket revenue or very little ticket revenue. So you've got to get these games, you know, up and going and figure it out. And, you know, I mean, I've said this a couple times, you know, here and in my personal life, eventually you got to kind of let us live our lives regardless of whether COVID is here or not. And I know that Mr. Biden, who may be President Biden very soon, has talked about shutting down up to 99% of the country until we figure something out. That may be kind of ugly, because, we're, you know, where Dan and I live in Illinois, they've closed all the restaurants again, or I believe, yeah, that was yesterday. And there's a big issue with that. So, I, like I said, eventually you got to let us live our lives, whether we get sick or we don't get sick or how it works out.
But,
I was just baffled that, you know, oh, it's great that the NBA is coming back, and nobody said, yeah, well, they're coming back for the money. Or am I the idiot here? I always wonder that.
No, well, you're right. You know, that was the biggest thing, was the money for, you know, Major League Baseball. That's all anyone talked about. I mean, we brought it up, too. But in the same token, like you said, the NBA needs it. There's could be ticket sales, there couldn't be. You know, you take a stadium like the UC in Chicago. I forget if it's between 18 and 23,000. I don't remember the exact number, but let's just go with 18,000 to pack the house. You know, depending on the mayor and what she feels like, capacity could be only at 50%. Capacity could only be allowed at 25%. You know, so you take 25,000, you know, 25% of that 18,000. That's all that's let in. You know, I mean, not only is that losing money for the, you know, the team, but all those people that work there. You know, you don't need all the food vendors.
So yeah, you know, again, like I just found that, you know, kind of odd. And then the other thing I was really, you know, not even sure how to react to this one, but there's talks that, you know, while the season will open on the 22nd, obviously, you know, Christmas Day has become, you know, the NBA's day. You know, Thanksgiving is the NFL, and, you know, New Year's Day was the NHL, but Christmas Day has become the day of the NBA. There's talks that, or there's reports, I should say, people have mentioned that whichever teams play Christmas Day, you know, which will probably be like the Lakers and the Clippers and the Warriors, now that their guys are all healthy, they're thinking that players like LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and, you know, some of those other bigger stars that got to play in the bubble and played into the playoffs will play like the first game on Christmas Day and then go away for a month as load management, as they put it. I'll say it again. Nobody's watching the league as it is. The ratings are in the tank. If they do this, Dan, is it even worth starting the league up? Because who's going to tune in to watch the, you know, say LeBron James and Anthony Davis decide, well, we're going to take a month off. Who's going to watch the Lakers for that month? Just the diehard fans, right?
Yeah. And even
so, they have to start there to get the games in. But I can't support these guys taking a month off. I don't care when the season ended. You've had plenty of time to rest and recover. And there's teams like our Bulls here locally that haven't played since March. You want them to sit around longer?
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, damn, you're right.
So, yeah, I don't really understand the mentality there of these guys kind of being like, well, I just finished playing, even though it was, you know, 8 or 10 weeks ago or whatever, and, you know, my body can't recover that quickly. You're a professional freaking athlete. All right. I don't want to hear this BS. You know, if the season wasn't right around the corner, you'd be working, you know, or if it would have played out regularly, you'd be working out for next season anyways at this point. So I don't buy the idea that they can't be ready or it's too soon or, you know, whatever other BS they're going to try to sell you. It's just guys who want to get paid their money and not do the work. You know, they don't like to play the regular season games, so they're not going to play them. You know, that, you know, unfortunately, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how, you know, how it goes. But yeah, it just baffles me that the, you know, and being that it's the NBA and it's a player friendly league, it's no problem for these guys to just walk away. You know, if LeBron wanted to walk away and just come back from the playoffs, the league wouldn't say a damn word. So, but yeah, I just kind of, you know, when I heard that, I was like, really? You're going to play the one game and then just go away. Wonderful. That's just fantastic. So, you know, that, and they, you know, they have the draft is in 13 days, and obviously that's going to be held virtually like the, you know, like the NFL did. I doubt they'll do it as well as the NFL, but that's where they're headed there. So we'll be all excited about that here in Chicago when the Bulls make a pick, and it probably won't be anybody that'll help them. So we'll see how that one works out. But yeah, and you know, while I brought up the draft, you know, I know we're not huge NBA guys and all that other fun stuff, but I saw that the Warriors may actually be interested in shopping their first round pick. Now they have the number two pick, so you could possibly add a, you know, a big time quality player. I guess why do you think they want to move it? Because it would probably help them to get a little younger. And do you see them being able to do this, getting enough in return for it if they decide to make the move?
When are they moving it? Oh, or have they?
They what?
I said, when are they moving it to?
Well, they have, they're apparently looking for options to trade, you know, to deal it to somebody. So.
Oh, I mean, what would they get in return? Or are they up high?
No, that's what I want to know. What do you think they could get enough in return? Do you, you know, and why do you think they would want to move it? Like I said, it would probably help them to get younger.
Money? I don't know. Maybe you can get someone, maybe you can get a couple younger players exchange for that draft pick.
Because, yeah, it just, I'm trying to think about it here, but, you know, they're guys, you know, obviously they're coming off a horribly injury-plagued season, but, you know, as long as Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green are healthy, they should be able to compete. But, you know, Curry is 32, you know, and then Thompson and Green are both 30. You know, and I get they could play till they're, you know, 40 or whatever in the NBA now. But even so, you would still like, you know, you'd think you'd like to add a young, talented player. You know, and I know they picked up your guy, Andrew Wiggins, but he really never turned into kind of the player that people thought he was going to turn into. So I would think, you know, with the second pick, you could see a guy and be like, oh, hey, all right, here we go. You know, let's plug this guy in and add him to our, you know, to our list. I mean, you know, what if it's LaMelo Ball? Wouldn't he fit in there?
In this draft?
Yeah, he's going to go in the top of this draft. He'll be one of the first players taken.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's there's a lot of people who have Peg going number one. I've seen other people have him going two or three, but most people don't expect him to last past that.
Holy cow. I mean, I haven't – it's been a couple of years since you know, I was watching their Facebook show and whatever for a minute there. You know, so I haven't seen any footage on him. You know, he was still kind of a shorty kid. You know, I think he was still in junior high the last I saw of him. Have you seen anything? You know, I'm assuming he got taller. You know, he was kind of young. His brothers are taller.
Yeah.
His dad's tall. His mom's tall. You know, I haven't seen anything on him since then, though.
Yeah, you know, like they have him listed at 6'7".
Wow.
I doubt he's actually, you know, he's probably 6'5". They always add a few inches. But, yeah, you know, he's still 18. He won't turn 19 until after the draft. So, you know, you're going to get him really, you know, obviously really young. You know, the question becomes, you know, a lot like Lonzo when he came out, is he's not a great shooter. You know, he does shoot a lot, you know, because he's been a big-time scorer, but he made just 25% of his three-pointers. They don't say if it's last season or the last couple seasons cumulative, so he'll need to improve on that, especially in the NBA where that's all you shoot is three-pointers. You know, and he's not even a great free throw shooter. He's at 82%. And, you know, as a guard or in the NBA, you really should be 90 or above. But, yeah, he's, you know, he's rated here on the ranking board I have up here. He's ranked as number one. So. But yeah, that may be where he falls. You know, one, two, or three. It looks like.
Is that big baller league still going on?
I haven't heard anything. My guess is it's probably done, just like a lot of his stuff. Because I haven't heard it. I haven't even heard much from LeVar on, the deal is with, you know, LaMelo, who it was always reported that he was supposed to be the best of the three brothers.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how if that's really true. Obviously, you know, Lonzo is he's an average NBA player, but again, he's another young guy, so there's room to improve. Your guy Jello is probably never going to make it. You know, he may get a cup of coffee here or there, but he's never going to be an NBA player. And it was extremely stupid for him to leave school. But that was daddy's doing because he had the league going and he was going to make him a star.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, other than that, I mean, we'll see here. They do have something here about LaMelo not being worried about LeVar's draft presence. So I don't know.
What does that mean? I mean, he's going to be there?
No, you know, I think they're talking about the antics like we had when he got his 15 minutes of fame. You know, he did everything he could to cash in. You know, like he mentioned way earlier that he doesn't want him going to Golden State because he's afraid he would come off the bench. So just kind of like, yeah, you know.
That's a little better than, I think, with Lonzo. The threats he was throwing and, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So. You know, yeah, that's not as bad as what he was there. So.
No, because, I mean, you know, that's, I think, making a comment like that, it's definitely diplomatic, but it makes him just sound a little bit more objective as opposed to if the Lakers don't sign him, then, you know, draft him, we're not signing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that attitude when he first came around, and, you know, was something, but... You've got to imagine what followed. And I hate to get into the conspiracy stuff, but, you know, they live in L.A., Hollywood. You know, everyone's an actor in L.A., regardless. So you know, you've got to wonder if all that was to set the stage, and maybe he was just doing like you and I used to do as professional wrestlers, and he was just playing an extension, a character of himself. I don't know. You know, I could be wrong. Whatever.
No, you know, and I'm sure he was to a certain extent. You know, because he was so far over the top that it was ridiculous. You know, it was just like really. And, you know, it's actually difficult to believe that somebody could be that big of a tool bag in real life. You know, and we know some real tool bags from being in the wrestling business. You know, there are some guys out there, you know, they're not even as bad as LeVar was when he thought he was going to be a star. And I think that was kind of it for him. You know, you got to realize this was a guy who, while he was an NBA player, he was never anything. You know, he was never a star. I don't even know if he ever started for a team. You know, so, you know, I mean, he was nothing, you know, when it comes to a professional basketball player. And, you know, he sees his chance here with his kids that, you know, this is his opportunity to get out in the limelight and, you know, try to do what he wanted to do when he wasn't a player, you know, or what he had hoped was be a big star. And he used his kids to try to become a big star, and it worked for a little while. I mean, networks were dumb enough to continually stick a microphone in his face to, you know, get the quote that they wanted and, you know, all the other stuff. I mean, I know they even made an appearance on WWE that went terrible when LeVar couldn't follow the script and just went off on his own. So, yeah, you know, I mean, hopefully we won't see that again when LaMelo comes rolling into the league and people will just be smart enough to ignore him.
Yeah, well, and, you know, if you look at it the other way, kind of where I was alluding to, he essentially followed the former athlete, what do you call it, media circus, reality show type thing. You know, because you think about Hulk Hogan. You remember Hogan did that to try to boost his careers.
Not only Hogan did it, his daughter did it.
Yeah, but that show, you know, he was the leading character. You didn't know about Brooke or Nick.
She continued on with her own after Dirk was done.
Yeah, but that's my point. You know, Hogan set the stage. And, you know, what LeVar was doing was he more or less just setting the stage.
Yeah, you know, I think he was just trying to be a big, you know, he was trying to be the star that he thought he was supposed to be, because looking here, I was mistaken. I thought he had an NBA career. He didn't even actually have an NBA career. He did get signed, however, to an NFL deal by the Jets, but he never played. He went to the when they had the World Football League of America, he went to the London Monarchs and, you know, spent I think it was 2 years there. And then he signed with the Carolina Panthers, but never, I don't think he ever played a game.
I didn't know he was in the NFL too.
I'm looking here. Yeah, he didn't have in his time in the World Football League of America, he never had a catch. They turned him into a tight end, but he did record 28 yards on kick returns. But his teammates called him garbage. So I'm sure his personality must have rubbed off on him.
Oh.
So.
He
got hurt with Carolina, and that ended his career. So, But yeah, other than that, he's just been basically living vicariously through his sons, you know, and now that they're stars or whatever, he's, you know, he was going to try to take advantage of it.
Yeah, but I mean, both ways. I still think it was the way it was all played out. When you look back on it, I'm not going to say it was scripted, but it definitely follows a format. And, you know, LeVar being in Hollywood, I'm sure he had an agent before they set all that up, you know, things to that nature. And that's just kind of where I'm getting at it, too, was, you know, it was just a Hollywood plan. It felt like, you know.
Well, yeah, it was a plan to make him a star.
Yeah.
You know, that he was going to use the different platforms and, you know, I mean, honestly, I'm sure he was hoping for his own reality show on actual television, not just Facebook. You know, I'm sure that was probably something they attempted to negotiate or, you know, whatever he was, you know, whatever else he was hoping for. But, you know, like, I don't even know if the food company's in business. If I had to guess, I would say that they're out of business as well. But, yeah, he... You know, I mean, you know, to be fair, he's not the first parent who's ever tried to do this. I mean, you see it in Hollywood all the time where, you know, they're running their kids ragged, getting them to audition and try to make the stars and, you know, all this stuff. And that's going to be Dan's wife when, you know, his daughter gets done with dance class. She's driving her all over the place to make her a big dancing star. No.
I mean, we've contemplated in a few years sending her to the lovable camps.
So, you'll be all set then. So, yeah. Oh, but all right. Well, you know, I don't know. Let's call it. You know, there's a lot of baseball news going on. Being even though you know the beginning of the off season. To no one's surprise, Trevor Bauer rejected the Reds' qualifying offer. Now, interestingly, Dan, with the way the market is, you know, that qualifying offer was $18.9 million. Do you think he does better with that on a yearly basis, or was it possible he's just looking for the long-term deal and that's why he turned it down?
I think he was looking for the long-term deal. 18, that's not bad money.
No.
But it's only for one season, and it's, you're on the wrong side. Is he on the wrong side? 30? I don't remember.
No, I don't think so. I believe he – I will double check that 29? Here, but I thought he was 29. Yeah, he's 29. He'll actually turn 30 in January.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, at that age, I kind of feel like you're seeking a more long-term deal.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, my guess is he'll get, you know, 5-6 years. I'm just wondering if a team will give him $19 million or more. You know, especially kind of in a down market, like you've got to figure it's going to be. You know, it'll be interesting to see where his number kind of rolls in. I mean, do you see him getting like 5 years at 100 or 6 years at 120?
What is the average on that?
It'd be $20 million a year.
I don't really see that. I don't know why. I mean, was the qualifying was 18 and a half?
18.9.
Oh, wow. Maybe that is, but I would think that a team would be looking maybe just a few million less. If you figure over 5 years, maybe 18 million, like you said, five, six years. On an average of $18 million, and maybe, you know, point it differently from year to year, where 1 year might be 20, you know, the high end might be
depending on where the structure is and where they're at.
Yeah, so
you know,
yeah,
depending
I'm
on where
kinda,
all the money's
kinda,
tied up.
Right, and, you know, that's what I'm kind of wondering, who's going to have the money to do this? Maybe the Dodgers.
Well, we already...
Adam,
well, I was going to say, we already know the Cubs, you know, Theo doesn't have, can't spend money like that.
Right, yeah, no, well, allegedly. So,
yeah, allegedly. So, you know, that one's out of the question. But you're right, and I mean, you know, that's, I think I got a little homework to do. Try compiling everything together so we can start breaking it down a little better. But, you know, like you said, would a team pay him $20 million a year? I don't think they pay him $20 million every year if you're going over 5-6 years. I think it would be one, depending on where a team is now, if they have some space in the salary tax form, you know, maybe you pay them 20 to 25 million this year, or yeah, this coming season, and then it progressively gets lower, so that when he's closer to the end, you know, in the third or fourth season, it might be easier to move. You know, that's I think one strategy a team can take. But you know, again, it's one of those where it's there's what 30 different factors. Yeah, because there's 30 teams.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, the other thing, and, you know, I think we've been waiting for this for a year or two now, but the Indians have actually informed other clubs that they intend to trade Francisco Lindor. Now, he's in his final year of arbitration. He made 17.5 in arbitration last year, so he'll make a little above that next year, and then he hits the free agent market. You know, this is very much akin to the Chris Bryant situation here, Dan. Did they wait too long? And, you know, and obviously there will be suitors for him. He'll get a lot of interest. He's one of the best shortstops in baseball. But did they wait too long, and do you think they'll be able to get a big enough package in return for the value that this guy really is?
I think they waited too long. You know, no offense, but unless, you know, you go back to when the Dodgers needed Manny Machado, right? Unless you're the Yankees and Glaber and somebody else are both down, nobody's really looking to trade for him. You know, this would be a must-have, a must. The only way the Indians get to trade for him, in my opinion, is if it's a must-have. You know, like I said, the injury, and I don't think it'll be prior to the season. It would be later on in the season because you're not looking to give up a whole lot for a guy that you can't guarantee you're going to sign.
I think that's the catch is, you know, I guess if you trade for him early, you would have the opportunity to negotiate with him all season.
Yeah.
You know, the problem, of course, becomes how intent would he be on going out on the free agent market, or would he be willing to, you know, to sign that deal? And you know, now he's not a Scott Boras guy, so it's possible that, you know, you could work with him. He's represented by an agency called Sports Meter, so you know, there could be some, you know, a possibility of working there. But you know, you're looking at a guy who's going to turn 27 in 9 days. You got to figure he's looking for 7, 8, almost 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think in this market there's really, you know, maybe there's a team or two, but I don't think there's going to be many teams handing out those $300 million contracts, especially if we're not sure if we're going to have, you know, butts in the seats next year. So, I you know, it's so tough to call, but, you know, you know, can they get three quality prospects back for this guy in this case? You know, because there, you know, there's going to be contenders interested. You know,
yeah,
and obviously the first thing, you know, the first thing that popped to mind was I think maybe the Angels, because Andrelton Simmons is a free agent. You know, if they could deal for this guy, Artie Moreno's got the money to sign him. So that, you know, that could actually make them somewhat of a contender.
I think it would put them in a hell of a better situation. You know, and what I said, kind of going back, I think you're kind of on with at least trying to get three prospects. You know, Rick Hahn had set the precedent with what he was doing, you know, getting four or five guys back. But, you know, there was a little bit more time attached to that. So I think three is pretty fair, where you might have one, you know, one that's ready to come up in the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, and, you know, and don't be surprised if you see the Dodgers name pop up a lot here, you know, because for years we've been hearing that Corey Seager will be moved to third base. You know, Justin Turner's a free agent. This would be the perfect time for them to move Seager over and bring in a guy like Lindor. You know, I mean, if that happens, you could probably ink their name on the World Series title again for next year. You know, and again, we're looking at a team that they have the prospects to do this. You know, they've drafted really well. They're a very smart team. So, you know, they could move, you know, a package of guys like Tony Gonsolin, who we saw in the World Series. And, you know, I believe they have another young catcher that they might be able to package up. So there are guys that the Dodgers could make a move like this. So I won't be surprised to see, like, the Dodgers and the Angels pop up. But I'm not sure, you know, contender-wise, a lot of teams are set, at shortstop. So it could be interesting to see, unless they would be willing to swap their guy as part of the deal for Lindor. But I doubt the Indians want salary back.
No, I don't think they want salary back.
You know, unless it was a really, you know, young arbitration eligible guy who wouldn't cost them that much, or a pre-arbitration eligible guy, you know, something like that. But, you know, it's not like he's coming to the Cubs and Baez is going to the Indians or anything like that.
No,
so
that's not happening.
You know, they're not going to take that and then deal with it all over again with Javi. So it'll be interesting to see how the suitors come out. But are you surprised that they've kind of said, hey, we want to trade this guy, come talk to us?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just, to me, it's kind of jump back and take a seat or – fill the shoes of an actual Indian fan. You know, we always joke about LeBron, and now that he's a Dodgers fan, or whatever. But let's be honest, you know, if I was in this position, I would have did the same thing. But Cleveland fans, your team's going away. How do you feel?
All right, well, the reason means that Jim and I are going to take that. Now, it's really fun until Monday, but probably back this tomorrow, and we'll be here at 5 o'clock. So while we're going, you know, groupformedia.com, get over there and check out the blog. While you're going to follow the link over to the Facebook page, go ahead and give that a like. You went all the way over. Don't forget that we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well, if you'd like to look us up. We're cool with that. If you still find this to us while we appreciate that, thank you very much. But if you didn't follow, all you got to do is head over to TuneIn.com and you can listen to us anytime you want.